Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
This is a very sacred time. This is a very sacred, quote-unquote, ceremony. This is very holy. And so as they start to distribute the elements, let me get for me too, if you don't mind. Okay, thank you. I want us to pray over it, and then I'll be explaining how we do it in the Nazarene Church, okay? So let's have a word of prayer first. Then, gentlemen, if you'll start distributing at that point, please. Lord Jesus, we are celebrating your death, but also your resurrection. And from that, Lord, we are remembering what a horrible price it took that we could be here today sharing the gospel. We ask you, Lord, that as we do this, it's not just something we do by rote. It's not something we do just to have a tradition. But it is what we are becoming and who we have to be. To remember that we are the blood-bought, blood-washed children of the living God. It is just that sacred. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless our time here as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'll start distributing it and passing it down as well. Most of you have been in the Nazarene Church, and so this may be old hat, quote-unquote, for you, but I want to review that. I just think, as a pastor, I need to be very careful to do that as well. And so I want to share with you, when we come to the point of communion in the Nazarene Church, we have only one requirement. It is that you belong to the body of Christ. We do not say you have to be a member of this church. We do not say you have to be a quote-unquote member of any church. But we do say you have to be a member of the body of Christ. In other words, you have come to a point in your own life, where you can point to a time where you said, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And you have confessed your sins and found him faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. You see, that is how tantamount of importance it is. And so we ask you, as we start to think about doing this, that you reflect on that and you remember that, and it is just that sacred. I have never, and I'm not going to start now, go to each of you and say, have you become a Christian? That's between you and God. If you do it unworthily, i.e., if you do it without having done that, then that is between you and God, and you face the consequences of treading underfoot the blood of Jesus again. So it's that important. As we reflect on this, when Jesus did this, he took the bread and he broke it, and he took the cup and he poured it. And as he did it, he was pouring it out and breaking it out as a symbol of his body, the bread, and his blood, the cup, the new wine, the purest of pure juice from the vine of the grape. He took the bread. And he said, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, and I'm going to ask you to do it. And he said, take and eat it. So take it, please. He took the cup, the blessed cup. Symbolized the blood he would soon shed. They would take a cat of nine tails and whip him so hard that the historian of the day said they had to turn him around about halfway through so they could still have something to give him the rest of the 39 stripes. Do we get that? And he pointed to the cup and he said, this is my blood which is shed for you. And then he said, drink ye all of it. So please do that. Thank you. What we have just done is come together as members of the body of Christ, not based on how much we make, not based on what we wear, not based on our name, not based on what job we hold and how far up in our companies we are, but based on whose we are. I was in a church with my grandmother before she died, Mount Sterling Church in Illinois. And the last time she did this before she went to the nursing home, she broke into this, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Sing with me. "Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free." I pray that today you reflect on it very deeply and that you are grateful. Not only because he shed his blood and gave his body, but because you belong to him. I want to pray again before we go into the message of the hour. And then we have a message that we feel God has really laid on our hearts much today. And so, can you get me the stand? I want to come down today. And I want to just spend time down here more with you today. I think it's very sacred to preach from the pulpit, the table, but I think sometimes it's okay to be down more among you as well. I did not tell David this, I just decided this in about the last 10 seconds. So it's me being me, okay? And my wife says, yeah. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. We ask you to be with us. We ask you to anoint us. We ask you to bless us. Lord, don't let it be me. Let it be you. Let us remember who we are and who you are. And not only who we are and who you are, but who we are in you and what we have through you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. It is a word that is defined as being in a state of hoping, excitement about, or anticipation of something that will happen. That can be something that is pleasant, very positive, and of a great impact for good of a person or a church or an organization of any kind. It can also be a sense of that something is about to happen, and if we don't get ready for it, it will happen. Therefore, it is basically a two-sided coin word. That word is expectancy. That word is expectancy. We go through a bit of this ongoing expectancy of hoping for, excitement about life in events in our life, for our life, through our life. Just about at the time we can kind of figure things out when we're really small, all the way till the day we lose our faculties or we go see Jesus. We pay our bills in expectancy that they're going to leave the lights on and the heat on and the water on. And you can get to take showers, believe me. I've been around people this week that I swear they forgot what one was. But they still have value in the body of Christ and for them, their souls. We go with it to the grocery store expecting that there will be food that we will be able to purchase, to put food on our table and in our pantries so that we can feed our families. That's kind of important. We go expecting to the doctor when we do not feel good, expecting that he or she will give us something that will help us to be able to get better. And we are praying for Don and Debbie's grandchild because their grandchild's in Akron Hospital. So would you join me this week in continuing to pray for her? You see, when it's your own, it's a little more hitting home. And we want to keep doing that. Expecting. We have insurance so that we expect if we have an accident or some kind of a loss, that will cover it. Expectancy. We have it all. We hope for it. We live in anticipation. And we have excitement of and for and because of it. There is a part of our discipleship as well that we must embrace this expectancy in this mental inclusion and this spiritual need of experience. If and as we live in Jesus in full holiness, in full discipleship, in full surrender of our full life of Jesus to Jesus, and in life expectancy of holy expectancy, God will bless us. He will provide for us. He will meet our needs. I want to share this with you, though. There are times when I've heard that faith and expectancy is the exact same thing. I'm going to have to disagree with that. But let me share with you why, not just I disagree with it. Okay? First, faith and expectancy is not the same. Faith is, especially holy faith, is centered in the person we have faith in and about, i.e. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our faith is centered in God. It is not centered in the thing we want. There are those who say, well, I can just say, I deserve it. I'm claiming it. It's mine. That's faith in the thing you want. That's not faith in the God that serves us because of Jesus' blood that came for us. And then we serve him because of who we are in him. And we are one in the body and the mind of Christ. Expectancy is centered in what we seek. It is intertwined. We have faith that we will receive that. But we have faith in the provider and expecting of the need or the desire or the heart throb of what we want. Second, holy expectancy is holy discipleship based. Holy discipleship based. When, as, and if we live and walk in this life of being committed to Jesus, when, as, and if we live in this life of being God first, then we are disciples, and then the expectancy of what we are needing and seeking and praying for will come. One word heard about that. All of us who serve and live for Jesus will still encounter tough stuff. We may encounter diseases. We may encounter persecution. We may encounter tough occurrences in our lives. We're not alone. Jesus, the very Son of God, though innocent, was persecuted, prosecuted, beaten, and crucified, even though he was and is innocent. Saul, who became Paul the Apostle, immediately after he accepted God, ended up going into a training time and then out into the mission field, as it were, and he set the tone for the Gentile church. And still, he was beaten and left for dead. He was thrown into the deep. He was imprisoned, and finally he lost his head in martyrdom. All of the apostles were martyrs except for John. And in a way, I mean, their life was not taken from them by someone taking their life. But in a way, he was a martyr because of the beating he received. Exiled to the Isle of Patmos, no medical care, and probably had sepsis from his wounds. Song that comes to mind is, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. This shared holy expectancy is also centered in faith, by faith, through faith, that has been pursued by faithful disciples in the person of who we seek, Jesus. For my devotions this week, this seemed to really hit me home hard. I was looking in Luke, and I'm still in Luke. I don't know when I'm going to get out of Luke, but I'll finally progress on to John or somewhere else. Luke 19 and Luke 21 were especially weighty this week in my heart and my life. And Luke 19, 37 tells us that there were present the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, Equally important is something that is very weighty and very powerful. The ones who threw their cloaks in front of him, the ones who put him on the donkey, the ones who walked before him, praising God, were the mass of his disciples, those who were following him, not just the general population. And yet they would also be the ones who would join the general population and yell, "Crucify him." Ouch. Now look at Luke 21. Jesus gives six teachings. Verses 1 through 9, the widow's offering. The widow's offering. People came by and dropped in the offering. I want you to see, I'm giving my money to the offering. Hallelujah, ain't I good? And then a widow came and gave what, if we put it into our own time, in our own currency, she gave the piece that was of the least value, i.e. one penny. Because that's all she had. And what did Jesus say? She has given more than the rest because she gave all she had. In verses 5 through 9, there was the destruction of the temple that was coming because they were going to reject Jesus and face the consequences of that for the result of judgment. Pardon me. In verses 10 through 19, there will be wars and incredible persecution and martyrdom. But by enduring to the end, being faithful to the end, much like with Revelation 2 and 3, you will be saved. In verses 20 through 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. During his trial, they would yell, "Crucify him, crucify him. Let the punishment be on us and our children." And in 70 AD, it was. Then he progresses. Are you ready? Verses 25 through 28, the second coming of Jesus. After signs, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, the distress of nations, after tidal waves, after tsunamis, and after the foreboding of their hearts and global events, they will see Jesus again. Expectancy. Expect it. Get ready for it. Verses 29 through 33, holy expectancy when they see these things. Look expectantly beyond who you are, where you are, that you are. And then in verses 34 through 38, be watchful, i.e. expecting, even in the midst of seeing, experiencing these things. Because you have not been forgotten. You have not been abandoned. I'm coming back for you. This brings us to our theme, our text, and our sermon in a sentence. Our theme is this, living on the edge of holy expectancy. Living on the edge of holy expectancy. Our text this morning, it's the start, and then we'll go into some more. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Remember I said, faith is in the person, expectancy is in the request coming to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Verse 8, everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, it's open to him. Look, ask God. Seek from God. Knock on the door of God. And then the expectancy of what is sought, what is needed, what is desired will be given. Her sermon in a sentence is this. By faith in God, comes expectation from God of the blessings by God in the life lived for God. As the leadership team and as your pastor, we have dared to be spiritually audacious, spiritually faithing in God, spiritually holy expecting from God some things. To be transformed into becoming people of prayer more than people that pray, and then expect and dare to expect answers. To be transformed and becoming into people of fasting as a church. We called the church to be a church of fasting this week. And then expect miracles. Be a people that reach people for Christ in the church, bearing fruit, being the Great Commission, and then expect a fuller house and multiplication. Look at us today. The weather's broke. We still have a lot of people out, but we've got 41 people here. and we've got a lot of people out. God is doing a great thing among us, with us, and for us. Transformed and becoming people who dare to trust God for his miracles, his freedom, his moving among us in all things. We've had healings. We've had people getting saved. We've had those who have become straying to begin to turn back from those things that they were doing. We've had believers baptized. We've had people sanctified. We've had new members taken in. And let me stop for just a second. It's not here. No, Karen, it's not here. I want to do a membership class in February. Pardon me. We've had people that want to express to say, I'd like to find out what the Nazarene Church believes. That's fine. We'll do it. There are those who say we know, but we want to go through a membership class as well. Sounds good to me. So I want to get with you, and we'll do that in February. We have so much more we'll want to see, because I truly believe it's not just a catchphrase, but there is more in store than ever before in 2024 for Champion Church. And to be people, we the board, I your pastor, need you all engaged in the process, and expecting God will bless our labor, our efforts, our faith in action. The question is ours, is this: do we truly believe? Are we truly living on the edge of holy expectancy? That the same Jesus we come to praying, seeking, fasting, acting in faith will hear us, will delight in us, will answer the prayers we need and seek for his glory, not for us. His moving of his Holy Spirit, not just because we ask it, but because it's him. For our text, let me share with you that we can live on the edge of holy expectancy in all of these ways, not seeking the sensational, but doing it for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Satan does not like it, folks. I'm just going to tell you some things. Satan just doesn't like it when we come into the sanctuary as a congregation. But you know what? He trembles when we make this place a holy place of holy worship to holy God. That's why the sanctuary is sacred. The church is sacred. The building is sacred. He doesn't like it when we sit in the pew we think we always occupy and we almost think we got our name on it. And that's fine. That's okay. But he trembles when we come as we are, broken, burdened, having been through some tough situations, and still come here with holy expectancy. He doesn't like it when we attend in any way, shape, or form to hear the message of the hour, but he trembles when we come with holy expectation, pardon me, of the Holy Spirit to come down with a holy infilling and a holy anointing in and among holy people. He doesn't like it when we give our time, talents, and treasures, and in and of itself, but he trembles when we sacrifice, we give, we serve with our very being, our very heart. And rather than take up our name so that we can be seen, we pick up the towel. We wipe people's feet, as it were, for Jesus' name, not ours. He doesn't like it when we plan a service or revival services, and we will have one revival this year, next year, and the following year. Those 3 years are booked. They're coming. God's going to move. He doesn't like it when we do that, but he trembles when we, with holy expectation, we pray, we fast, we trust, we believe, and we participate. Because then, transformation of lives will happen. During the time of waiting for God to move, I'm going to tell you, it is going to be tough at times. But during that time, I want you to understand, you're maybe waiting, and I'm looking out on this crowd, and I know there are people who are wanting, seeking, needing, pleading, and waiting for God to move in special ways. But let me share something with you. Can I do that? The war for you, is being waged on your behalf in the heavenlies. Spiritual warfare is going on even now. You are not alone. Can I just share that with you? Where does that get us? Point one is this, 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares on, or anxieties, is the from the Greek word, on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Point A, casting. What am I saying? First point one is casting all on him. Casting all. The first word casting, it comes from the word that means to throw away from us, to throw off of us, to get rid of from it, from us, so that it is not even a part of me. The anxiety. You don't understand, Pastor, what I'm going through is just so heavy and it is overwhelming. I don't know what you're going through, and that is an extremely fair and true statement. But please understand, we all go through things. We all endure. We all get under things. And unless we're careful, we all will get overwhelmed and broken by things. To all, do all that it takes to get rid of that which holds me back or holds me down, casting. To make myself not responsible or accepting the issues that other people have done, it's not my fault. That you had issues happen, you've had things happen, and I'm not taking the guilt, because then that is an anxiety or a care, and where it's toughest, it's close friends, the church, or family. Throw off, cast away. Point A is casting. Point B, casting all. The word there is pasan. P-A-S-A-N. Holding onto none of it. Releasing all of it. Becoming free from all of it. It is, in essence, like to be paroled from. Like you were in a prison of it. It kept you in prison, and now you are liberated, and you are paroled, and you were released from that prison of the anxiety or the care. And have total freedom, the controlling of that fear, the controlling of that anxiety, the controlling of your life, because it just so destroys you, or it dictates to you. That does not mean in the early days, because depending on what it is, that it will not be overwhelming. But in time, with God's grace, I pray that you and I will get to the point where it no longer controls. Past experiences, past hurts, past events. And then we can pray about it, and our prayers are free. Free. Point C is this. Cast all your cares. Your cares. The Greek word there is merimnan. Anxieties. Not a passive anxiety, but an all-controlling, all-overwhelming anxiety that just weighs you down and controls you. Cast all your cares on him. That which would trouble you, that which would paralyze you, that which would keep you from being equipped with a complete abandonment to faith in God for an expectancy from God. Cannot tell you why some people seem to have a wonderful way of having things happen to them over and over again. But I can tell you this. God is still God. He is still holy. Faith is still real. Expectancy can still occur. Even despite it. Anything that would become a status of not being expecting the great move of God on us, in us, among us, from us, to where we don't even respond when a need is presented to us, can be cast off. Whatever it is, that's a care that keeps faith in God, centered on God, and not for someone else, but for me. And then have a holy expectancy that that which is needed will be that which is experienced, for that which brings glory to Jesus. Are we getting it? Am I communicating? Am I being clear? Help me understand. on him because. Point D, on him because. The word dotai means this. He becomes the host. He becomes the host of that anxiety. And when he, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, become the host of the anxiety and the care that was in me, the anxiety is gone. Because it doesn't stay with him. He becomes the one who bears the care. He becomes the one about the revelation that he cares for us to free us from that care or anxiety. Every one of you who are parents, you would take any care in the world on yourself so your kids don't face it. As human as we are, God is even more so that way. But we have to bring it and cast it on him. Are we living on the edge of expectancy? By faith in God comes revelation, expectation from God of the blessing by God in the life for God. That God takes it all. Point one was casting all on him. Point two is this. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, overcoming all through him. Casting all on him, point one, overcoming all through him, point two. Submit, A, submit to God. Submit to God. Becoming, living a life under the authority of God in all things, even in the time of toughness, so that we can live in the expectancy for us, that we can glory in the move through us by God. Recognize that in this holiness life there will be difficult times, and allow ourselves to weep. Allow ourselves to question. Allow ourselves to groan and moan with words that cannot be uttered, as it says in the scriptures. But allow ourselves to also get to the point where we recognize, at least in our brain, if not in our heart, that it is God who's getting us through this point. When there's great grief, when there's great loss, when there's great events that cause great turmoil, there's what's called the Kluger-Ross slippery slope. There's the event. Then there is the denial. Well, it didn't really happen. Did it really happen? Then there's the bargaining in the pit. There's the grief. Then there's the acceptance. Then there's the rebuilding. Then there's the new life. And then the going on to a new life. Forsaking the it. Are we getting it? Have you been through tough stuff? Have you just come to God and say, why? Why? You do things through me for other people, but why aren't you doing it for me? I honestly think if it's done from a holy heart, in a holy request of seeking, there is nothing unholy about that. I really do. Some of the greatest channels, though, of healing that I have seen in life have come through people who have been through hell and back and have been able to use their experiences and their stories of their happenings to share with others the faithfulness of God, even in the it. Point B, resist the devil, antistete. Resist, to stand against him. It is war, ladies and gentlemen. We are not in a spiritual discussion. We are not in a spiritual, name it and claim it, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. But I got news for you. God the Holy Spirit's the nuke. God the Holy Spirit is the spiritual nuke. We win. He loses. Genesis 3 says he won. He did. Revelation says he loses. Are we getting it? Do we understand it? The devil, the diabolo, to realize who he is the slanderous one. He is the one who desires for you, we to give in despite what God has promised. So we have to come to the point, as hard as it is and as long as it takes, that we refuse, we choose to refuse to give in. He's the false accuser. The accusation on us is not the sentence to us. Just because he accuses of us does not mean we are convicted. Go to Job. Satan goes to the throne of God and accuses him. What about Job? What did God say? He's my chosen. He is holy. We cannot understand why God allowed Job to lose everything he had except his wife, who did not support him. He said, why don't you just, and did not come alongside of him and say, I can't understand why it's going on, and I don't know what to say, but I'm here with you. He had three friends that became four friends. Said, just curse God and die. It must be some sin you did. What happened in the end? The fourth friend, quote unquote, was not even mentioned, first of all. Look it up. He ain't there. And the three friends, the other three, had to have Job pray to God for them. They couldn't even be heard by God of them. But when he did, Job was restored double of what he lost. It did not replace the kids that he lost, but God gave him twice as many children that he lost. He will see. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. He will flee and run away with all speed. Point C. He will flee in total defeat by you. He will flee even as he did the temptation of Jesus. You remember the story well. We've preached about it. I hope you still remember it. Jesus has come. He's been recognized. He's been baptized. The Spirit of the living God comes down on him in the form of a dove. They hear a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Then he goes into the desert. He's led in the desert. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he has been fasting. He is hungry. He has not taken anything in. And only then does Satan come to him to tempt him. It is written. And finally, Satan has to leave. He flees from Jesus. And angels come and minister to him. I will not guarantee you, because I cannot guarantee you. I will not guarantee you an angel will show up at your doorstep after you've worked through it at some point. But I will tell you this. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God will be there. Unseen in it, but obviously present through it and after it. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. That's a lot of nors. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Things will not make us lose our relationship. Only sin will. His love is still there for you. If you have fallen away because of, I invite you to come back to him in spite of. Are we living on the edge of expectancy? By faith in God comes expectation from God of the blessing by God in the life lived for God. Point one was casting on Him. Point two, overcoming all through Him. And point three is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. The holy person, victorious living through Him, the holy person of Him. I can, Ishio. I have the power to do this, to live, to be on, in, with the edge of holy expectancy because I am in Him. Of the holy person Jesus, through His power of God, because of who is in me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, do you not realize that when we see in Paul's writings that we become the living dwelling place of the living Holy Spirit, He takes up residence in our hearts and in our lives and in our flesh, we become church walking through every place we go. Do we understand that? Church of the Living God does not go places where the devil is glorified. Church of the Living God does not dwell on thoughts that is not glorifying to God. Church of the Living God does not look at things that Jesus wouldn't look at. Didn't say you're not tempted, but it's from the outside because in the inside is the Holy Spirit. Making us crucified with Christ, not I, but Christ that dwells and lives in and with and through me. By His presence of God in me because of who has cleansed me, i.e. Jesus and His blood, communion. Experience the victory of God for me because of who it is that infills me, the Holy Spirit in power, in presence, in personhood, overwhelmingly. Is it any wonder why Satan has to flee? Living in holy expectancy. Point B is this. I can do all things, panta, all things, everything in the spiritual realm. It is not I but Christ that is doing it. Nothing in the spiritual realm, ladies and gentlemen, when we are living in the presence of the living God and the living Holy Spirit lives within us, nothing in the spiritual realm is unavailable. Nothing. Are we expecting it? David put together an incredible slide. Are we expecting that that's going to be our testimony because of what God is going to finish doing? Not because of what He's done already, and that's incredible, but what He's going to finish doing. Nothing for the glory of God is unfathomable. I can do, I can see, I can experience all things in Christ who gives me strength. Nothing in my overcoming that is centered in Christ is unattainable. That which is in Christ, for Christ, and promised by Christ, and in His word is yours, is mine, is ours. Folks, that's holiness. It's holiness of heart. It's holiness of experience. It's holiness of living. It's holiness indwelling. And it's holiness in holy expectancy. He is the power. See who strengthens me. See who strengthens me. He is the power. He is my power. He, not me, He of my strength. He is the presence that is my victory. He is still victorious over death, sin, hell, the grave, the evil. He is the provider of my overcoming. I cannot do it on my own, but I have more than enough strength because of He who is in me. It is not I, but Christ that not only lives in me, but it is not I, but Christ who also overcomes for me. He is the strength for me only when His Holy Spirit lives in me. Are you struggling with a sin? I didn't say you're struggling with a trial. I said, are you struggling with a sin? We in the church have quite honestly been very wrong. And I mean this very kindly. But we have been very wrong to say, if you're struggling with a struggle and struggling with a battle, it must be because you're sinning. No, it does not. Spurgeon struggled for years with the brokenness he had over the condition of the church. Wesley struggled for years over the condition of the church, and from that formed the then Methodist church. His struggle did not mean he was sinning. His struggle was because of sin around him. Are we getting it? Struggle does not equal sin. He is my strength. He is my victor. He is my provider of my overcoming. He is the strength for me. Are we living on the edge of expectancy? By faith in God comes expectation from God of the blessing by God in the life for God. Living on the edge of expectancy, holy expectancy, means accepting, embracing, and not looking back or away from the promises God has given us. Can we, will we, do we need to be transformed in our own personal lives? To be transformed into living in and on the edge of expectancy. Let me give you some verses to help us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is your, i.e. our, in our midst, your midst, a mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with gladness. There's two times of gladness. Did we get it? It gives him, the holy God, gladness to come and intersect in your life, my life, our life, his creation. He will exult over you. Here's what I love, with loud singing. Did you know God sings? Did you know God was a singer? I can hardly wait to hear what part he sings. Don't tell me bass, I think he sings them all, and I don't mean that arrogant. And as the song says, I can only imagine, because I simply cannot fathom. God singing. Over us. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is still the same. I added still. I think it's okay. Yesterday, today, forever, i.e. every day. He still sings over. He still rejoices over. He still gives gladness in and over. What's our response? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence. That's two times. When it pops up twice, there's a test question. The test of your life, are you seeking? Am I seeking? Are we seeking? Are we following? Are we living on the edge of expectancy? Do we have a holy faith in a holy God that he is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, going to do what his H-O-L-Y word says he will do? If, when, as we give ourselves totally sacrificially, totally doing what he totally commands. 12, remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles and judgments he uttered. For all we've envisioned, for all we would hope, for all we have dared, for all we would strive for, are we living on the edge of expectancy? By faith in God comes expectation from God of the blessings by God in the life lived for God. Last slide, Kyle, please. I think you know it by now. Available, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Available, Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Jesus, we are here. There's some of us, Lord, who are really facing it. And quite honestly, we ask why. We ask, where in this thunderous horribleness of what's going on are you? Where are you? We ask you work through us, but why don't you work for us in the midst of it all? In the midst of pain, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of remembering of all that we've had to go through, we may be tempted to say, Lord, do you really care? Do you really have power to prevent anything? Then why didn't you? Yet, Lord, today, today, it's not about the wallet, it's not about the timetable, it's not about the job, it's about us. Oh God, that we would have faith in you so much that even in the it that has been, may be going on now, or will definitely be coming, because that's how Satan does. He left him, it says the Spirit, by the Spirit of God recording that Satan left him for a while. Let us live with the Holy Spirit in us by an infilling into us through sanctification of us, that we live on the edge of holy expectancy. Available, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Available, Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Thank you, Lord. Are you there today? If not, we can be. talk to me, and we will pray with you that you will get to living on the edge of holy expectancy. Let Jesus go with us. Transform us as we reach out for miracles and we expect the miracles. Let us have our faith in you, first of all, so that as the miracle comes, it's all about you and not about what was done. And may we be so infilled with the Holy Spirit that the expectancies in holy living, holy seeking, holy needing become reality of holy celebrating. And therein a testimony, even in the midst of tough stuff, that God still answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening if we keep our heart in tune. And all God's people said, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.